Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite on-time cousin, Cousin Shade. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you, buddy, we are locked in one day closer to some SEC football.
Yeah.
Look at all these games we got. I'm telling you, buddy, the more I sit around and think about these, the more I think there's going to be some upsets this weekend. How about you?
That's why they call it Devastation Saturday. Someone's going to be devastated after this one, you know? So I do feel like this is going to be an emotional weekend, right? Trust me, as a Tennessee fan, getting knocked out of the college football playoffs was not fun. It's not been easy. The 48 hours has wore off. I'm okay with it. I don't know what step of grief I'm in, but I'm in it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at some of these teams that are sitting there barely hanging on to the college football playoff committee hopes. And I'm like, hey, one little loss, one little trip up, and you're out. You know, and it's stupid. We'll get to it, I'm sure. But the college football play, I'm watching, Texas is out, Oklahoma's out. And I'm like, but Notre Dame's in. No. Get the hell out of here.
Gotta keep him fighting Irish in there. You know what?
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a damn shame.
But
you know favoritism. We don't do that. You know, we didn't do that. We always had that kid in the class that screwed up. Like, you ever been in school and, and everybody took a test and everyone did bad, so they like kind of did it on a curve, graded on a curve, if you will.
Yeah, that sounds like you were in some slow classes.
Very slow. Yeah, absolutely. And
I didn't have the curved ones.
There was like one smart kid that snuck in there and he like skewed all the numbers. You know what I'm saying? Oh, SEC Mike up there in the corner with his helmet on.
Yeah, exactly. I still have nightmares. I don't know why, where I like wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shit, I got a test in the morning. And I'm like, some bitch, I haven't had a test in 30 years or whatever, you know?
You know, it's funny. I've had a few school ones, like from high school. Usually it's like you show up without any clothes on or something. But I have not had like a school dream in a long time. So I think in the 40s it starts wearing off, Mike.
Okay, good. Good to know. You know what doesn't... Hey, because of Brett said they're still celebrating on the plains. I hope Eminem Trees is rolled right now. You know what?
Are they? I don't know if they... Did
I
they
have not seen, but I don't think they are. I said they should be. And maybe I ought to drive down there and just roll them myself.
Just start it. Only SEC Mike's doing it.
Just like Georgia fan.
Hell yeah. Welcome to the family.
All right, buddy, you ready to jump into this mailbag?
Yes, my favorite show right here, cuz. And don't forget, cuzzes get their questions asked, and if you got a donation, maybe we'll answer your question.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of cousins, I saw her in the comments here. Shout out Cousin Emily Powell. She's got a question, and I think this will apply to a lot of fan bases, Shane, that have new coaches. Can you clarify the new transfer portal rule? She thought you can only get in the portal after a new coaching hire if it's after January 2nd, and that's a little confusing, but no. So the transfer portal is still the same for literally everybody, which it does open, I believe, the first week in January, and it's open for like 15 days.
Yeah.
So that's the only portal. There's no more spring portal or anything like that. And there used to be, Shane, where – you know, we can just go off the teams that are open right now in the SEC, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, and Auburn. It used to be, now that the coach is fired, everybody can jump in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
They are not allowed to jump into the portal either until that window arrives here in January, the first week of January. I think it's like January 5th through, I could have the dates wrong, but it's either January 2nd, she said January 2nd, or January 5th, and I know it's 15 days. So you got to wait till that period.
Yeah.
But when there's a new hire, it's got to be, you got to give them 5 days before you can get into the portal. So they can, like, let's say Florida hired a coach today.
Yes.
In 6 days from today, they can enter the portal. If that, I know that's a little confusing, but that's the exception. When there's a new coaching hire, you can't jump into the portal as soon as the coach is fired. You got to wait 5 days when a coach is hired, or if the portal arrives first, which that's the whole point of firing a coach early, is so you can get them in place before the portal opens. They're not. You're not going to hire a coach after the portal and be like, ha ha, we kept all our players. You don't. You can't do that. That'd be a good strategy, but you can't do it.
How much accessibility, and you may not know the answer to this, but how much accessibility would a new coach, let's just say, hypothetically, James Franklin comes down here and takes the Arkansas job. That's the one I keep hearing a lot of.
Yeah.
If he shows up, is there a time, like, does he have to wait till January 1st to do this, or can he show up on campus December and start talking to the kids? What the rules are there?
Well, as soon as you hire him, he can go in there and talk to him.
So there would be a benefit to hire. Now, just to clarify on the portal, though, if you hire him, let's say you hire Franklin right now. Well, you wouldn't do it during the season, but let's say at the end of the final game, right?
Yeah.
If you hire him, does that start the five-day window, or has he got until January?
No, as soon as you hire him.
Okay, then starts the five-day clock.
Right. It's tricky because it's like, let's say I'm just using your example.
Yeah.
Let's say Arkansas, I'm going to pull up their schedule because I don't know the official last day of their season. But November 29th.
Yeah.
They hired James Franklin December 1st. Mm-hmm. Just complete hypothetical. Those guys can get in the portal December 6th or whatever.
Yeah.
So, that's good, well and all, but even then, I can't imagine guys are going to be like just so eager to jump in the portal even those dates,
mm-hmm.
because where are you going to go? And not only that, but like the season's over, right? You can't just transfer it into Georgia and suit up for the Dogs.
Yeah.
And also, you probably want to wait to see who gets hired elsewhere. I mean, it's just it's a game of musical chairs, if that makes sense. So basically you really don't have to worry about it anymore with this new rule, I don't think. But what you do have, what could kill you, and some people have like given us, they're like, you really think these teams care? What's going to kill you, Shane?
Yeah.
This portal opens early January, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just announced the college football playoff schedule.
Yeah.
If you're Florida and you're waiting for Lane Kiffin,
yeah,
he may not be available till a week into the portal. You can't. It's a big ask to ask DJ Lag. Well, of course he's not played that well, so people may not be too sad. But the entire Florida roster, Dallas Wilson. I don't care who the new coach is. They want Dallas Wilson.
Yeah,
his ass could be in the portal a week before you get Kiffin.
Right.
If you even get Kiffin. So it's a dangerous game to be playing, Shade. If you're eyeing a coach, Eli Drinkwitz, if they make a run here and Missouri goes to the playoff,
yeah,
it's a dangerous game to sit around and wait for them, because I don't think players are going to sit around and say, like, I wonder who the new coach is going to be. I'm going to find out before I jump in the portal. I think they're going to jump in the portal and see what's out there. Doesn't mean they're going to leave, but they're going to test those waters, and they'd be smart to do it.
Yeah, but I do think that there is an added benefit to getting named early, right? Because you can't establish those. Because to sit here and think that Florida players are, I mean, all SEC teams right now are probably still getting poached as we speak, right? There's conversations. Probably, I mean, they're not sanctioned conversations, but there are relationships being formed with kids and other campuses right now. And I mean, to act like it's not is we're just lying to ourselves. And I feel like not naming a coach, kind of holding off, I feel like that would do harm. So you're right. A guy like Lane Kiffin, a guy like Eli Drinkwitz, those guys, may have a longer run right now. I mean, just based off if they win out. But I don't know, man. Jeez, I think it's the benefit to have. We got to have some hiring early. I think December 1st should be hire day, and to hell with the portal and playing the long game here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be that early, because there are also conference championship games, and you got to think that, these American Conference USA, all those conferences. They'll have their championship game like December 10th.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just kind of I don't know the official date, but ballpark. I don't think it kills you to hire them December 14th, you know?
Yeah. It's just weird. I don't know.
The sooner the better, though.
But you say that. But let me ask you this. Okay, just to clarify, just so, because I am the slow kid in the class. Coach gets hired December 1st. My guy can leave December 2nd. Or after 5 days.
5 days.
He can leave, right? Mm-hmm. Or does he have to wait till the January portal?
No, he can leave in 5 days.
Yeah, so then again, maybe you don't want to hire a coach December 1st, you know?
But also, what it will allow you to do, now here's where it really gets complicated.
Yeah.
Maybe you get that new coach in here, and he looks at the roster, and he pulls a D on, and he says, oh, God, this roster sucks. Get your ass in the portal. You know, like, so that way you know, oh, we got to fill 60 whatever spots.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a selling point with high school and the portal, I would think, right?
Yeah. What could you do for 5 days to, like, let the kids have a lot of fun, you know? It's like, take them to Vegas, you know?
You know, I mean, what that really is going to be,
yeah.
I hate to be cynical, but the truth of it,
yeah,
it's going to be how much money can you get me?
Yep.
You know, so, but at least you got 5 days to figure that out.
Yep, absolutely.
And sign on the dotted line. Just like Cousin Brent just signed on the dotted line. Appreciate you, buddy. Let's see who he gifted.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Brent.
He gifted Slap Nuts.
Slap Nuts. Welcome to the family.
The family. Keep your hands off my nuts.
He'll fit in. He'll fit in well.
Just like the legend.
Cousin JR has done it again.
The legend. Cousin JR has done it again. The
thank
legend.
You.
Cousin oh. JR has oh, done it again.
Thank you, JR.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate you, brother.
He gifted Alex Waller. Alex, welcome!
Welcome to the family.
And Steven Up.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Oh, Steven Up. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Gifted Rafael Solorio. Rafael,
welcome to the family.
The family. And then one more, Shane. Maya FKU. Yeah, Maya FKU. Let's see who they gifted. They gifted. Dun, 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 dun. Caden.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, we had, you missed it earlier, Shane. I had Steven on.
Yeah.
Mizzou fan number 7, shout out. I hope I haven't seen you in here, but he was there before.
Yeah.
He gifted 20 memberships.
Jeez.
And he says if Mizzou beats A&M, he's coming back. To gift 50.
Damn. Come on, cuz.
Better than a Lambert's roll, you know?
Absolutely. I'll take that any time.
All right. Shout out, Cousin Mike Andrew, Shane. He's got a great question here.
Yes.
What's the one player that each team that has fired its coach has to keep from transferring out?
Jeez.
So we got Auburn, LSU, Florida, and Arkansas.
Yeah.
Are there any players that come to mind that you think they really got to keep?
Cam and Auburn. For me. I know. He's a little up and down, but that may be a quarterback problem, you know?
Right.
At times.
Well, here's why I went different.
Yeah.
Because I think he's only got 1 year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, receivers, awesome. He might be the best receiver in the damn country for all we know.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't get him the football. So give me Deuce Knight, who's got multiple years, quarterback. I'd rather have a quarterback than a receiver, especially one with multiple years of eligibility. Hell, I don't even know if Deuce Knight can play. But everybody down there says he can. And I would imagine they say he's not developed. I'd say, well, have you seen his coach? literally every quarterback doesn't get developed down there. So give me a new coach. I think we can fix the quarterback. Give me Deuce Knight.
That's a good one. Dallas for Florida, maybe?
Yeah, you nailed that. That's who I had, Dallas Wilson. I think, again, we've not seen a ton of him, but true freshman came in and, man, he shined. So if we can get him healthy, I hate to say it, Shane. I mean, I think he might be the most sought-after prospect in the damn portal when it comes open. So hopefully Florida, you can keep him. How about LSU, Shane?
Parkins, seventh year.
No. How about, again, I kind of cheated a little bit. Not cheated, but again, I'm thinking strategy here. True freshman, Harlan Berry, running back.
Oh, that's a good one.
So
that's
I went true one. Freshman for all these guys because it's, you know, you get, hopefully get them for multiple years. You can kind of build around them.
Yeah.
That's who I'd go with, old LSU.
What about like a – I mean, I don't think you necessarily need a Weeks or anything, but a team leader like that may keep the team intact. You know what I'm saying? That may be something to look at. You know, if you're looking for like a captain, a team captain, that right. may be able to stick around for another year.
And then Arkansas?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just keeping it real, right?
Yeah.
I said none of them. I think you want to remove the demons. You know what I mean? Yeah. And again, that's not to say they're bad players or anything like that, but there's just no one that comes. I mean, they got good players, but I was going up and down the roster. They're all seniors of the ones that I would want to keep. So I don't know. I mean, what about Braylon Russell, maybe the running back.
What about Quincy Rhodes?
I think he's an upperclassman, isn't he?
I mean, if you got to keep one, though. You know, I'm just... you may be right. Bobby Petrino.
Keep his ass, huh?
Yeah, no, I feel like a clean house wouldn't be a bad idea there in Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas fans would be mad at that, you know, let's just strip it down. Let's rebuild this house from the bottom up.
Yeah, Thorhog says he's a junior. All right, so bring him back. Bring his ass back. Come on. That's a good one. All right, how about cousin Brandon Riley, Shane?
Hell yeah, Brandon. What you got for us?
I put this one in the show title here. Mike and Shane, who's y'all top five SEC teams right now?
No particular order. I'd say Texas A&M. I would say Alabama, Georgia, Mizzou, and Ole Miss.
Oh, you nailed it, Shane. And I figured Texas and Oklahoma people would be upset, but they're just on the outside looking in. You know what?
Just like the playoff committee. Maybe they're on to something.
But are we completely disrespecting, and perhaps we are, Vanderbilt? They beat Missouri.
Of course we are. Yeah. Muscle memory. I mean, I would. The problem is, I'm not going to lie, if this list was longer, it'd be probably Texas, then Oklahoma, then Vanderbilt. No, I'd say Vanderbilt, then Oklahoma. Okay. Oklahoma, then Vanderbilt. Yeah, that's the order right now.
Okay. Yeah, shout out to JD.
All of them deserve to be in the top 25, the top 12 for the college football playoff, in my opinion.
Yeah. Shout out, JD. Thanks for having Mike Gittins on. Go check that out.
Oh, yeah. Great.
When this
great.
Is over, by the way. But, interviewed Mike Gittins from the War Report. And we got a new interview dropping tomorrow. So, man, the content just never stops. You know what?
It never does. No. Just keeps it going. Thanks, Mike. He's like the Energizer Bunny, you know?
And then shout out cousin Brandon Riley. He got a two-parter.
Yeah.
Best running back in the SEC. Who is it?
The best running back in the SEC? Hardy.
Yes, he knew you were going to say that, Shane. He says Calvin Lacy. But
I mean, it's tough to argue with production, right? Lacy's been really good here lately. We're splitting hairs, but if I had to go to the locker room and pick a running back, I'm going to pick Hardy. Little muscle hamster. He's getting the football.
Yeah, I think so. That's where I would lean as well. Look, we got Lane Kiffin in the comments here. Kew and Lacy.
Attaboy.
Oh, shout out. We missed Junior, Shane. Junior.
Gifted. Hell yeah, Junior.
A membership to Ross Hogg. Ross.
Welcome to the family. Is there any other? Let's just take those two off. Who's your next two that you're looking at? Who's B team? Who's SEC second team?
You know, someone that would not get any respect at all on a list like this?
Yeah.
And it's a damn shame, because I think he's turned out to be a hell of a player. Give me Kentucky, Seth McGowan.
Ooh, a healthy McGowan? Come on now. I'm right there with you. I thought he emerged tremendously after that Georgia game. Him and I tell you about Cutter, too. I'm in love with Cutter. So I feel like those two guys, if the portal opens up, those are the two I'm looking at. If they're willing to jump ship, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I feel bad because he's injured, but we should not completely dismiss Le'Veon Moss.
Yeah.
He's a damn beast, too. But, again, the question is, who's the best right now? He's banged up, so.
Yeah.
Man, imagine A&M if he gets a – I don't know if he gets a – if he can come back or not, but imagine how much better they could be. It's scary, isn't it?
It is. It's like, oh, by the way.
Hey, shut up, Bad Back Shane. He gifted Dealing with Dylan. I think that's Marler's dealer. Shout out Dealing with Dylan. Welcome
to the family. Family. Thank you, Mad.
Mad Max.
Do you like that movie?
I love it.
Yeah. The new one?
All of them.
Did you like the old ones?
All yeah. of them.
Yeah, all of them.
Hey, speaking of all of them, I also love Cousin Kyle Lovinggood, Shane, official cousin. He's been with us for years.
Yeah.
Also put his question in the title here. Which program that just fired its coach has fallen the hardest and faces the toughest program rebuild? And why is it LSU, he says.
The toughest rebuild?
Yeah.
I think it's still Arkansas, right? I just feel like there's limitations. I feel like there's restrictions with an Arkansas job. I feel like Florida is going to let you do whatever. They're at that point, a little bit desperate. LSU, because of the epic meltdown that happened down there and everybody involved, I feel like that one is going to be free reigns. Do whatever you want, whatever you got to. Here's all the resources needed. Those jobs I feel like are going to be a little bit easier. Auburn, I'd probably put in a tier by itself, and then I would say Arkansas would be the toughest one.
Yeah. Hmm. Let's flip it, because I think that's a little easy.
Yeah.
Which one's the most ready-made for a coach to step in and have success? Now, that's difficult to answer, because we don't know what the roster will look like. We don't know who they'll lose to the portal.
Yeah.
But let's assume they keep the majority of the roster. Because I would imagine Florida, LSU, Auburn, whoever they're getting, they're going to get a coach, and he's not going to just be like, okay, he's going to want to know, what do I got to spend? How much commitment do we, let's assume they get all the answers they want, and they get the money to keep the roster together. And it doesn't have to be 100%, but like 90% of the players they want to keep. Which situation do you think is the best to turn around immediately?
If you could keep this current roster, I like Auburn. I like Auburn a lot. Florida's close, but I like Auburn a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what I was going to say. I think it's set up very well for success.
And I'm recruiting every fat bastard this side of the Mississippi to help me on that offensive line, Mike.
Hey, shout out Chance Cuzzos. Love you guys. Mike, found you on Fine Bum and trolled my tide, so you had to grow on me. But you grew on me in the SEC. Has there ever been this many fired coaches in one season? I think there has been.
Yeah.
Because now we're at 16, so four is a fourth. When we were at 14, I think there was a year there was like six fired.
Yeah,
we can get there.
Yeah, I think it was after like Joe and all them guys, Moorhead, and Mm-hmm. Kind of in that time frame. I remember doing the A-Team SWAT deal for a video, and I was like, well, I can't use any of this content next year, you know? So I feel like that was pretty close, but I'd have to, I mean, I'd have to Google that, but this is a lot. And I don't think we're necessarily done. Maybe not fired, but again, don't think that your SEC coaches are secured right now. There's a lot of names that are active coaches in this league that are being asked to do potentially other jobs. So I don't think we're done at all. 2025 is going to be absolutely nuts with coaches, you know,
right?
And fans and games. I mean, this whole season's been awesome.
Yep, because we could have firings, we could have guys leaving.
Mm-hmm. NFL's calling. So the hell with this. Yeah, we got some NFL Come on, coaches sorry. Out here.
Yeah, by the end, half the damn coaches could be gone, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking Stoops, but yeah, that works too, Sark.
Well, he ain't going to the NFL. Hey, shout out Cousin Thor Rogue. He says, hey, I'm not asking this question to start a fight.
Uh-oh.
But who knows? I've seen quite a few LSU fans say they want James Franklin. Why would they want James Franklin when he basically got fired from Penn State for doing basically the same thing Brian Kelly got fired for, not winning the big games? Although James Franklin, he did make a playoff. I just want you and Cousin Shane's opinion. What's your thoughts on that, Shane?
I agree. I mean, I do think that he could be successful in the ACC. I do think he can be successful even in the Big Ten. But the SEC, he's going to be one of those 9-10 win coaches, especially in LSU. But every now and then, I feel like he can make a playoff run. But I do not think that he would win the big one ultimately. So why would you want that Brian Kelly 2.0? You know.
What about for Arkansas though?
Yes.
I mean, if he can get you to 9 or 10 wins.
Hell, sign me up. You know what I'm saying? Sign me up. Get me back on the right path. That's the key. It's like you're building that standard up. You're making this job, even Florida. I mean, I wouldn't hate it just based off, you know, what we've seen the last 10 years. So he forms the relationships. He'll get some wins. But I don't see him winning the big one down here, you know.
I don't think he's got enough offense for Florida.
Mm-mm.
You know, they'd run his ass off. But we have seen him at Vanderbilt win with less.
Yeah.
So I think he could do it at Arkansas. Not our favorite person.
No, not at all.
I will keep it honest, but I think it would be a good hire for Arkansas in terms of where they're at and where they'd like to be, if that makes sense. Because who knows? He might take them to the playoff a time or two. And if he does, I mean, he'd be one of the best coaches they've had there.
I would think a Virginia Tech, a Clemson, you know, if that opens up, that would be perfect for James Franklin.
Or North Florida Carolina.
State. Florida State, you know, just in one of those, any of those.
I think they'd run his ass.
Yeah.
I think North Carolina's good because if they go 8-4 every year, they'll be like, that's good enough. Wins basketball. Hey, shout out Mad Max gave us a donation. Shade. Those Mad Max movies were all done by the same guy. Even Fury Road. Then he dropped dead. Oh, no.
Damn,
shout
rest
out.
Rest in peace.
George Miller. Giga Maggies and beat the hell out of Misery.
That Fury Road was pretty damn good. It's wild. I mean, just the creativity that came up with that one. I mean, it's one of the. Here's the thing, Mike. I get so easily distracted with my phone.
Yeah.
And I watch. And then I'll like look up and it's 10 minutes later. I think I'm watching, but I'm not really watching. I'm looking at Twitter or TikTok or something like that, you know? And so I really didn't quite understand Fury Road. I probably should rewatch it with no phone in sight.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I just keep it in the other room.
You have to. You absolutely have to. I mean, we're all addicted to those damn things.
Mm-hmm. Hey, shout out Brent Counter. What do you think of James Franklin to Auburn?
I told you my piece on James Franklin. It'll be fun. Like it will get you some buzz, but there's going to be so much of that going around, right? Is James Franklin to any school going to be more exciting than Lane Kiffin to this school or John Gruden to that school. You know what I'm saying? So the James Franklin buzz, that was big when he went to Penn State, but I feel like he's lost a little bit of that. So you'll get a bump in recruiting, and you'll probably get an extra win or two. But again, I just do not see him as a championship coach.
And I think, Shane, if he comes back,
yeah,
we're going to have to start some kind of petition for him, asking him to unblock you.
I mean, that's the least he could do. Everybody's like, why do you hate him so bad? I don't know. Why do I hate Cracker Barrel all of a sudden? You
know? Uh-oh, Paul's bad shade. Please pull up Mizzou's schedule.
Tell me why they're number five.
Oh, shit. All right, Paul. Fine, bomb. You at least change your name, you know? Because the only two losses are top 10 teams at the time. One's at Rhodes, and you could argue that that one really should have been won, right? Yeah. I don't think Vanderbilt kicked your ass. Even Alabama, there was moments in that game, if we had any sign of life on offense, which apparently we found over there in Nashville. This is a team that could go the opposite way. But I do think that they're a little battle-tested here. Auburn at the time, I felt like it was a very good win. So,
and how about this, Shane?
Yeah.
Would you believe the footballs? Ooh, favor
dang.
Mizzou against Texas A&M. So take that for what it's worth. But this, they got a really underrated defense. They got the league's best running back.
Yeah.
They got a coach that wins a lot of one-score games. I mean, there's a lot to like about old Missouri.
Who would you put? I mean, what do you got them in your power rankings?
Number five.
Okay.
I mean, I wasn't arguing. Paul. It was Paul Feinbaum. I was getting mad at
Paul,
you.
Paul, come on now. I didn't know you liked him that much.
Rick, appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, cuz.
Thoughts on LSU hiring Notre Dame's Denbrock as head coach? Beat the hell out of Mizzou. Yeah, so he was the offensive coordinator when Jane Daniels was down there. I don't know anything about that guy as a head coach.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. We've said it many times. I'm not hiring, especially a job like this.
Yeah.
Not hiring a career assistant. I'm looking at his resume right now. Does not appear he has any head coaching experience.
But to bring it to LSU, LSU doesn't have to do that, you know? Yeah. I feel like there's some schools, it could be a home run hire for Arkansas, right? Mm-hmm. But it could also be egg on your face, and then next thing you know, you're wasted 3 years with a coordinator, which, ask Mississippi State. Now, they're doing better with Lebby, but ask the prior regime, you know what I'm saying? Didn't even make it a full season without getting fired. So,
and he worked under Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, at LSU. I mean, he might have too much Brian Kelly stank on him. You know what?
Yeah. No. not for me.
A good coordinator.
LSU could get it. I'm telling you. Now, what's this incentive-based stuff? You heard that? So is that is that the new? I mean, this is, I think, where we should be anyway with coaching. But what are your thoughts on incentive-based, you know, pay structures for head coaches?
I can't remember who it was I was calling out, Shane.
Yeah.
But you remember I was calling out some of the cousins that said, if you want to believe in Santa Claus and Easter Bunny, that's fantastic. But I just don't believe in that, right?
Right.
So if you want to live in this fantasy world where, all right, let's say the LSU job's open. Let's say they want Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
I don't know that's who they want, but let's just assume. If they hand him a contract that is full, you know, all these incentive-based,
mm-hmm.
and then Florida slides under there and gives them a fully guaranteed contract, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, even a moron will tell you, well, he's going to take the fully guaranteed one. You know, they're just going to do that time, and that's the world we live in. So until they all do it and everyone just switches to incentive-based contracts, this is not going away.
Yeah.
Now, maybe we should do that, but all it's going to take, Shane, is one cheating ass Alabama to say, here's you a fully guaranteed contract, and that's how we got to where we're at. You know what?
Yeah, I know. It's like get them all committed. Well, I didn't think we'd go to 9 games because all them coaches and ADs were out on it, but apparently we got them together, you know.
How about Cousin Derek? Shane, what if Mike made your contract incentive based on you being on time and not talking about him?
I was trying not to say it, Derek. Jeez. Oh, if Tennessee gets fired, you ask me if Hopple gets fired. If they bring back Hendon Hooker, though, yeah, we may be working with something here.
Johnny Blue says, but lots of complaints about Stoops' incentive contract.
That's true. I mean, there was I enjoyed that one. At the time, it was pretty good.
His is screwed up now because now it's a fully guaranteed buyout.
Yeah. What was it? Like every 8-win season, he got another year?
If he won 7 games, he automatically gets a 1-year extension. If he won 10 games, which they're like, he'll never win 10, he gets 2 years. And then he did it twice, you know?
Put it in the paperwork. Put it down there.
You know what all this talk, though, Shane, of contracts and saving money?
Yeah.
You know what that's kind of got me thinking about?
Saving some yourself?
And putting it in my Ridge Wallet. Come on. RidgeWallet.com, promo code SEC to get you 10% off. It's a damn fine wallet right here, Shane. Look how slim this sucker is. Look, I'm trying to break it right now.
Can't do it.
Can't even do it. This is a lifetime guaranteed. It's made out of some kind of titanium. That's for the military, Shane. This is true stuff over here. So go check them out. Ridge.com, promo code SEC, get you 10% off. So slim, just like Shane and I are going to be this offseason. As soon as we get on our meal replacement shakes, Shane, go check them out. Huel.com/thatSEC, get you 15% off. And it's a complete meal. It's got 27 minerals and vitamins and minerals, 35 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber. That's how many points Hugh Freeze scores a game. 27, again, vitamins and minerals, no sugar added, less than $5 a meal, Shane. You can't beat it.
Mm-mm. No, you can't. You'll love it.
And there's links in the show notes to all this loveliness.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
All right, Shane. On with the mailbag. We got a good one.
All right.
From SEC. Sean, shout out. He's an official cousin.
I see him down there.
Who do you think would make the best case to make the playoff if Texas and Oklahoma, if they both went 9-3? So that would mean they each lost one game, 1-2 out the stretch. Oklahoma's got at Bama, Mizzou at home, LSU at home. Texas got at Georgia, Arkansas at home, A&M at home. And, I mean, I don't know if you go strictly head-to-head, but I think you got to honor it. So I think it's almost got to be Texas, doesn't it?
You know, I would have said Oklahoma without a doubt, right? But you did kind of convince me with the top 10 wins that Texas would have under the belt, including the head up. But I think I'm going to go Oklahoma.
Ooh.
Wait. Go back one more time.
That would mean Texas beating Georgia or A&M, though.
Yeah, but losing Arkansas. Can you do Oklahoma one more time? So they got to win Georgia or an A&M. Oklahoma would have to win two. Let's say, I mean, it could be LSU and Mizzou. I think I'm going to go Oklahoma still.
Wow.
I just strength the schedule. On the road, Tennessee, that was a big one. I mean, powerhouse.
I think how they lose, too, is important.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is going to happen, right? But if, let's say, Georgia beats Texas by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Or A&M beats them by 14 at home. It's kind of hard to put you in if that happens. You know what I mean? And same thing for Oklahoma. They go to Alabama and they lose by 30 points. I don't think we can turn around and be like, well, but they're 9-3. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's how you lose too.
I know. But then I'm right there with you, but I do go back to the heads up match. You know, it's like
right.
You did play at a neutral site and you did lose. So it's almost like you kind of punched your ticket, and even though John Mateer was not 100%, I feel like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know if there is a right answer here, Mike.
They should just have to play
again.
We'll
leave it up to the committee. They'll fuck it up somehow. They'll leave them both out so they don't offend anyone.
All right, how about this one, Shane, from Cousin Glenn Warshaw. Official cousin, we appreciate you, buddy. Who do you think will be the next head coach at Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, and LSU? So, I should say, I mean, maybe Shane knows. I wish he'd tell me. I don't have a damn clue. So these are just guesses.
Yes.
Right? I have no clue. But you feeling confident about any of these, Shane? Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, LSU, next coaches?
None.
I'm feeling pretty confident about Kiffin to Florida.
Okay, so let's do that one. I feel like that's a big domino, right? LSU would be open. I think you go after an active coach.
Yeah.
Heupel? Man, what about Dabo?
To which one of these?
I just feel like Dabo's ran his course over there. He's bitching about officiating. I mean, he's doing anything and everything, and I just don't feel like there's quite the buy-in. But I think Dabo would leave for any of those. Well, maybe not.
Not Auburn. Arkansas. He went to Bama.
Well, they already got the Christian music in the pipeline there, so maybe he can he could just step in.
Dabo to LSU?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I feel like maybe something like this is going to happen. They're going to go out and get one of the active coaches that has a national championship. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what you want to win, right? And there's not too many head coaches that have a national championship trophy in their case, you know?
Hey, shout out Derek Cole. Listen to this comment. I love this show. Shane says Oklahoma. Mike says, I think Texas. Shane says, I'm right there with you.
You got me. I'm just guessing, right? If I honestly could pick, I would love to have Golish up in
Arkansas or Florida.
No, I'd like to see Golish in Florida. I'd like to see John Sumrall right there in LSU. No, ooh, I'd like LSU. To see him. Ooh. Yeah, I'd like to see him stay. I mean, they love him down there, right? And you talk about a pipeline of local recruits. It wouldn't be a bad idea to keep him. And I think, let's see, who else we got? Arkansas, man, if you could get Gundy over here, that'd be fun as hell. I think, you know, you need a splash hire, something that's just kind of does it for you. And then Auburn, that's a tough one for me. I don't know about Auburn. I'm kind of torn on them right now.
All right. Auburn's hiring John Sumrall.
Yeah.
So I got to find one for LSU. LSU, Urban Meyer. No.
Yeah.
What if Jimbo Fisher get? I mean, that can't be real, can it? I mean, I don't understand why people think Jimbo Fisher is going to be a coach here. But
they would. But there's people that would love to have, what's his name down there? Gus Malzahn. Malzahn to Arkansas. I've seen that before, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I really, that's just kind of how I'm seeing it in my mind. Maybe drink to Auburn, you know?
Ooh. Thor Hogg says no to Gundy, so he got vetoed on that one.
Oh, damn it, Thor. How do I block him? No, joking, Thor. I'm fucking with you.
All right, how about this one from Cousin Lucio? Official cousin, we appreciate you, buddy. Mississippi State,
yeah.
Kentucky, Florida,
mm-hmm.
Auburn, South Carolina. Who's got the biggest chance, or best chance, I think is what he's really saying, to make a bowl game? So let's go through these. One by one. I think Carolina even? Yeah. So Carolina would have to win out at A&M, Coastal, and Clemson. I think they can get two of them.
Mm-hmm.
At A&M, very unlikely. Auburn, buddy, really screwed the pooch last week. Auburn's 4-5. They got to beat Mercer, will be easy, but they just got to beat Vanderbilt or Bama. So basically Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Florida, they're 3-5, but they got four opportunities. This week will be huge at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, Tennessee at home. They always beat Tennessee at home. Yeah. Florida State at home. And then we got Kentucky. Kentucky's 3-5. Florida at home. Tennessee Tech. Tennessee Tech's undefeated. Just be aware of that, Shane. At Vanderbilt, at Louisville, and then Mississippi State, 5-4. Georgia at home, at Mizzou, Ole Miss at home. Best chance to go to bowling.
Best chance is going to be either Auburn or Florida.
Than State, who's just got to win one?
Yeah, where's the one? I mean, maybe. Yeah. Got to win one. That's right. They're just all in the South. They're all in the top 20 there, 25. I feel like Kentucky could be like, no, can't. I go back to Florida. Go back to Florida. I feel like this is your answer right here. Let's say we get to Kentucky, Florida State, and then, I mean,
Tennessee, I guess.
I'm just saying. Maybe that's the Negaball in me or just what I saw last weekend. I feel like, but then you're asking for 3 out of 4 wins. I don't know. 1 out of 3 seems like the better match. What about Auburn? Do Auburn, and then I'll shut up.
What if they get a huge bump here from Durkin and Hugh Freeze really was the problem?
Give me Auburn. Give me Auburn.
They got the defense to get there.
Yeah.
Because
Mercer is a win, right?
Right.
So then it's one. So it's Vanderbilt and Iron Bowl, which you never know what's going to happen in the Iron Bowl. And then Mississippi State, they got Georgia on the road at Mizzou. And then they've got last one?
Let me say this, Shane, about Auburn.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to sound crazy, right? And I'm not saying it happens. But I think there's a shot they lose to Vanderbilt. It's on the road. It's been a crazy week. There's a lot of transition. Like, I don't think that's like a stunning. I mean, Vanderbilt's favored, right?
Right.
So I could see a scenario where Auburn loses. They get 2 weeks to kind of get their ground, feet set, whatever, get the offense kind of figured out, beat Mercer, beat the hell out of Mercer, and turn around and win the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that could happen. I'm not saying it is, but I could see that, couldn't you?
I could see it. Yeah. I could definitely see it. I'm with you. I'm Auburn. Auburn and then Florida.
Okay.
And watch Mississippi State do it this week.
All right. Shout out Cousin Schfan. Speaking of Mississippi State, he's a big dog. Do we need professional umpires to be held accountable and have to go to the press conference to answer questions? This is a multi-billion-dollar industry, and we have middle school teachers and gardeners that are refs. Give me a break. What do you think, Shane?
Yep, I agree. Dabo went on this rant. He's not the first coach to do this. We need full-time officiating. We need better cameras. I mean, Jesus Christ. Multi-billion-dollar industry. We can't tell if the football crossed the plane. We can't tell if it's out of bounds. Every blurred vision looks like Bigfoot on the sideline. You know, it's like when they slow it down, I can't tell if it's Sasquatch or if he's in bounds or something. So, yeah, I feel like officiating and better management of the game needs to be addressed this offseason.
Shane, while you were going through those bowl scenarios, Mike Andrew says Shane just changed his mind.
Yeah, it's Kentucky.
No, it's funny because if anybody that missed that Dabo rant, the only thing that was that I just like chuckled really hard at Shane, where he's like, these damn refs need to be held accountable. There's games on the line, and then he's like, and then there's gambling, and then I think he was like, I should reel that comment back in. He's like, And then we said, then we go into refs. They should be friends. I was like, wait, what happened to the game? Like he insinuated the
refs are gambling on the game. Yeah, the kids are doing it. Players got caught doing it. You mean tell me officiating ain't doing it? These part-time bastards trying to make ends meet.
Shut up, Francisco Garcia. Shay, Francisco, welcome
to the family.
Hopefully he's not related to Dabo. He probably won't like it.
Garcia.
Hey, how about all day Trey, Shane? Yeah. He's got a question for us. Shout out Trey Drowdy. If A&M loses Saturday to Mizzou, what's the chance they also lose to mighty Texas?
Oh, man. That's the thing. If you lose, I don't know, man. Jeez. I still feel like this would be a special season, right, for Texas A&M, but man, everybody's talking about you now. You know what I'm saying?
Is there a shot they don't make the playoff? How about that?
Absolutely.
Because he follows that up. What does that do to their playoff ranking? Like,
you lose two games in November, this may be the only 10-2 that doesn't make it. They'll put Notre Dame because they'll say, well, that was early. Forget it was at our place, right? We were still trying to figure things out.
Yeah, so there's a lot on the line. You know what?
Absolutely. So, yeah, A&M, I have no idea. I joked about it when the committee did their thing because it's a temperature gauge to what a lot of people are mad that there's so many SEC schools that are in the top 25. They're like, you ain't got it. Like, you have enough. But they forget that all these guys still got to play each other, right? Yeah. So there's going to be some people dropping out, some teams dropping out. And so when I see this top 25 and I see Mizzou in the 20s and I see Tennessee, Tennessee 25, you know, that tells me exactly what they think of this conference, and it's all going to be based off wins and losses, and it's so hard to move up the list. You can move down. They'll drop you like a damn brick in the water, you know, but moving back up, it just doesn't happen. So you lose two games in November, it may be tough to get in that college football playoff, which is crazy to me.
And then he wants to skip ahead to a food question real quick.
Yep, I like
favorite cereal.
You know, I'm getting older, man. You know,
I've Bran Flakes.
No, not that bad. Frosted Mini Wheats. Yeah, so I've kind of grown up a little bit. I was a Captain Crunch growing up, and then that was before berries. I didn't even have berries, but I did enjoy the berries. Went through a little bit of a Lucky Charm phase. I do like those ones that have like all kinds of granola clusters in it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of crunchy and sweet.
Right, right.
Those are really good, but it's really expensive. So the Frosted Mini Wheats is kind of my OG right now.
Okay. It's very, very detailed. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Hey, we had a long one. Shout out Wes Faulkner. He emailed. It was so long he had to email it to me, Shane.
Yeah.
Huge fan of the show. Appreciate the content you guys put out every day. The podcast sure makes Nashville traffic a little bit more tolerable. I appreciate you, buddy. Here's his question, though. Are fan bases going to have to retrain their expectations for more mediocre seasons? He says that NIL has changed the landscape where players aren't necessarily going to migrate to the typical power programs.
Yeah.
Seems like talent's being spread out. It's difficult to build depth. You know, things we've all talked about. The SEC is a damn gauntlet, Shane. Yeah. Social media has given fan bases a stronger voice, and every coach is on the hot seat for an 8-4 season. So, again, the question, do we have to retrain our brains on expectations?
Absolutely. And it starts with us, right? I feel like if we were to fast forward 5 years into the future – and the season played out exactly like it did this season. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like there would be as many opening spots as there is. I just don't.
Yeah.
Because we have that knee-jerk reaction when we lose three games, four games, that Jesus, we have to do something now. We have to fix it now or we won't be there tomorrow. It's kind of that just like I said, it's in our brains to feel that way. But when we see a 10-2 SEC team or a 9-3 SEC team, our preconceived notion is to say, well, that's an unsuccessful career. Why? Because for 40 freaking years, Mike, you lose one game, you're not going to the playoffs or the BCS. You remember that? Those days, it was like every game mattered, and they were always afraid that this was going to happen, but we still got our brains thinking that every game is the most important, which it is, right? Because we're getting to the end of the season, and you've got no more mulligans left. But I just feel like 9-3 is where we're going to be, and an 8-4 could be a successful season.
Yeah, and here's a great example, Shane. I was thinking about this with this question.
Mm-hmm.
South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
They were preseason top 15. And I'm not saying, you know, they're the 15th best team in the country, because clearly they're not.
Right.
But you lose one here, you lose one there, the season slips on you. And next thing you know, you're 3-6. And you're like, what the hell? We were preseason top 15. Florida? Yeah, I've totally roped you back into, hey, Florida's a hell of a team. Now, should they have lost to South Florida? Hell no, right? But LSU was a nail-biter. Georgia was a nail-biter.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue even A&M, they had opportunities. I think A&M clearly won that game. But point being, I mean, it's a play here. It's a play there.
Yeah.
Auburn. You know, if they just had a competent offense, they'd be money.
Go to Mississippi State.
Yep, that's a perfect example.
Yeah, I mean, they realistically could have one loss right now, you know, and all this talking about drink and Lane Kiffin, you know who else they'd be talking about? Jeff Lebby. if he was one loss right now, then you better damn believe his name popped up down there in LSU message boards.
Can we get him? You know?
Can we get him? Right. So, yeah, you're just it's failed, missed opportunities for a lot of these teams. And I feel like when you're looking at your record and you're like, oh, I'm bummed. You know, as a Tennessee fan, I'm bummed. But dude, if we would have kicked a damn field goal at Georgia, we'd be all right. You know, if we would have not turned over three times in the first half with Oklahoma, you know what? We'd probably been all right. But we didn't. We missed those opportunities, and Oklahoma and Georgia took advantage of them. So that's why they're in the playoff mix.
Right. Alabama.
Yeah.
Made up two or three critical plays against Missouri.
Yep.
Otherwise, that game's flipped.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth and short, they stopped Georgia. Otherwise, that game's flipped.
Right.
You know, that South Carolina, they were down, but they made the plays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about making those plays in the critical. And I think it's just, we're going to get more and more of this.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's
Just the days of having these powerhouse football teams in this conference, those one or two juggernauts that are just unstoppable, those have gone away. We're now, I don't want to say parity, because we don't have, it's not there yet, right? But we do have very competitive football teams from top to bottom in this conference. And when they say any given Saturday, it means if the stars align and all the good bounces go your way, I can make an argument that every SEC team would win that weekend. So that's just kind of where we're at, and we got to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But and the committee does too, Mike. You know what I'm saying? The committee's right. Got, that's the big one.
Well, and I think the where you really get screwed as a coach, or a fan, more importantly, is the one team we didn't reference in like woulda, coulda, shoulda was LSU.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, they are a couple plays away, I guess. But when your team goes all in and you kind of shit the bed.
Yeah.
I ain't using that as an excuse, you know, like the league's so good. We could have done this, could have that. No, this was your year. You should have gotten it done. You know what?
Who's that famous coach? He says, they are who we thought they are, you know?
And hey, credit Ole Miss too, Shane, for not jumping on Kiffin's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Because they did the same thing last year. Yeah. All the chips were on the table. This was the team. They didn't get it done. And they gave him the ammunition to go reload the roster.
Yeah.
And he's probably coach of the year now.
Yep.
And his team's marching to the playoff. You know what?
That's what I'm saying. And patience is a virtue, right? And I don't think anybody has it in this conference. No. Not a damn one of us.
Hey, all right. How about P5 Crowdy? Cowdery. I always screw that up. P5. Appreciate you. For SEC teams not in the playoff.
Uh-huh.
what are the bowls and how good are they? Does it help teams in the SEC or not? And here we got Steven. So he gives us weekly bowl projections. So, yeah, bowl games, I mean, they used to be pretty fun, right?
Right.
But they've just kind of lessened in importance as the years go on. And now everybody cares about the day of playoff and players sit out. And basically what the bowl games are now, I mean, this I guess this is what they always were. But what they truly are, Shane, is TV programming for the holidays.
Yes.
I mean, that's what it is.
Background music.
And they're fine and they're fun.
Yeah.
And we always say the same damn thing every year, Shane, where it's like,
if we played them week two, you know.
Well, no. It's always you that's saying it, so I'm surprised you screwed that up. But you always say, I'll tell you what, you may not be excited, but if in March you're going to wish you had the Birmingham Bowl. You know?
That is also true. That's also true. And I will say there's, for me now, it's an opportunity to see what this roster may look like the following season. I do think it's important for the schools in particular, the teams in particular, because it does extend practice. It does give them a little extra reps. And it seems like those teams have like a little bit of a head start going into next season. So there is some benefits, but you know, once the opt-out started happening, it's not entertaining anymore. And I wish they would put, I mean, I always thought this, man, and I don't know how they could do it, but I always thought if they could put a little skin on the game, you know, like if a team wins, maybe a hefty donation comes to those players, something along those lines. And, you know, how could you do that? And you know, maybe even donations, like the money that is given to you, you can give back to your high school for, you know, college grants or loans or something, you know?
Well, I think what we should do is make it like SEC versus Big Ten, since that seems to be like a growing rivalry.
Yeah.
More bowl games of that. I know there's already a couple, but maybe there should be a lot more, you know what?
Maybe we should do like three or four games, but do like dodgeball where we have a draft and we pick each other and then those teams play.
All right. Hey, at P5, she got some food questions, Shane.
Yeah. All right.
Favorite winter drink, and you can't say beer.
Oh, I like eggnog. Winter drink. Yeah. I like winter. Now, I'm allergic to cinnamon, so I found out this the hard way. But there was a thing growing up when we used to go get like real trees. They would always make apple cider, you know?
Right, yeah.
So the child in me loves that apple cider because it takes me back to that time, right? But the eggnog was always like, that ain't come around until I think you guys moved up, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think we could afford eggnog. So when you guys had it, I was like, hey, this is pretty nice, you know, and you can spike it a little. So, yeah, that's probably my winter drink I'm going to go with.
I've shared the story. I'm 99% sure on here, but I told you my eggnog story, right?
Did you get sick?
Yeah, I had just a ton, and I was meeting the lady's parents for the first time, and I had to go to the bathroom about 8 times during that meal, and they thought I was on drugs. But ever since then, I kind of stay away from old eggnog. But
that's fair.
I've gotten more into tea. I don't know if that makes me less of a man or anything, but the lady makes tea, so like chai tea,
winter tea.
Well, I mean, we don't do it in the summer because it's so hot out. But yeah, when it's cool, like. Instead of coffee at night, you don't want to be a maniac drinking coffee at night, so we drink tea at night.
Do you have a tea set?
I mean, she does it all. She just brings me the mug. I don't know what's in it. Okay,
you don't have to dress up for it or anything, right?
And then P5 also says, favorite fall, winter appetizer.
Favorite fall, winter appetizer. That's a good one. You know, because it does change. I think when football starts, I mentioned those jalapeno poppers were really good. But the colder it gets, the less. I'm more into the chili, you know. You talked about, like, the little chili bags that they do.
Yeah.
With the Fritos in it, the sour cream, something like that. That's That's what I'm talking about. We just had some potato soup. That was phenomenal. I like that as an app, you know. I mean, some people eat it as a meal, but I'm saying if you get a smaller bowl, you know, you can use it as an app. Spinach dip. I'm just replaying what I had today.
How about jalapeno popper? That, to me, that's not necessarily a winter thing, though.
No, not a winter thing. I mean, deviled eggs are floating around in the wintertime, you know, because you got Thanksgiving and Christmas. I love deviled eggs. There was these little, Mama used to make them, the little macaroni and cheese little bites, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense? So it's mac and cheese, and they're putting like little cup, not cupcakes, but smaller, and then they're like baked, and then they're, those are good.
Okay.
That's a winter one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, now that we're talking about it, my mom does these, and I don't know what you call them, but they're like biscuit and cheese and sausage balls. Those sausage balls, you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
They're phenomenal. They're phenomenal. And then you got pigs in the blanket with those little weenies in the croissant deal. Those are good. And then I would say, last but not least, those little meatballs with the toothpicks in them. You know, those are good.
You know what my mom makes? She has the recipe.
Yeah.
I might have her. She got it from Mamaw. Uh-huh. Where it's that, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it's like a roll thing. And it's got cinnamon and it's got nuts.
Yeah.
And you bake it and you cut
it. Yeah.
That's there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Those are, yeah, damn. You got the recipe for that, huh?
You want me to bring you some?
I was just telling my wife about that the other day. Those are awesome. But Mama would make so much. Like, she'd, like tamales, she'd just, like, make a whole bunch and put them in the freezer. So it'd be, like, June, and all of a sudden one of those comes out. I'm like, dang, those have been here the whole time, Mama.
How about pigs in a blanket? You ever mess with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, we do those little, there's Hampshire, I don't know what you call them, those little tiny weenies.
Yeah.
And then you roll it in a croissant. I like mine with a little cheese in it, you know. And then when you bake it, it like gets crispy on the outside. The cheese kind of goes onto the parchment paper there. Dude, I've gotten sick eating those fucking things because, I mean, I've done some damage.
Shout out Darren. He says, who wants to bet Shane raids the fridge after these shows?
In fact, I got some. We did so we do Christmas November 1st, right? As soon as Halloween's over, we decorate the house. That's our thing. So we made this giant charcuterie. I learned that big word.
Yeah.
Big charcuterie board. So I've been eating cheese for like 3 days, man. I mean, that's, and those little pigs and blankets. So I'm cheesed out now, though. I'm ready to get back to my salads and grilled chicken, you know.
I've tried to show them because they're like, yeah, you idiot. That's called a Cinnabon. But
no, this is
much, much different than what we're talking about.
No, it's
I found it right here.
Okay.
It looks just,
like it looks pecan just like this wheel. Thing,
doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a cinnamon. No, it's definitely different. There's no cream cheese icing.
Right.
And it's more that nut mixture is, golly, Mike. That's so good.
This is confusing because it disregard all this, but look at over here.
Yeah, that's it. And then you put butter on it, you know, you'd put a little, like softened butter on top of it. It's a breaded pastry. It's not a cinnamon roll. Two different things.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then cousin Trey Tucker. So he's got food question for you, but go back to football real quick.
Tesla said, imagine change toilet after all that cheese.
With Arkansas's next coach, is the name of the coach or the commitment to the NIL from the boosters more important?
NIL. It doesn't matter. I was talking to somebody and it said, I mean, a coach matters, right? I'm not going to say a coach doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, it's about the talent that's on the football field. The reason Arkansas is not winning and losing more games isn't because of the coaching staff. It's because they don't have the competitive depth that some of these other teams have, right? Now, obviously, coaching's going to help. It's going to give you that extra 2-3 wins a year because of it. But if you don't have the talent, then it doesn't matter.
I've heard Arkansas's bottom three in football NIL.
Yeah, well, shit, the AD told us.
And it shows, you know?
Yeah, the AD tells you. They'll never win. It's like, what? Jesus.
So, all right, now here's his food questions, as always, from Cousin Trey Tucker. I want an eating itinerary for Cousin Shane, starting with Friday dinner. What's a typical Friday dinner?
Like up here in Sevierville? This is Trey's question, right?
Well, here's the full question. So yeah. Starting Friday dinner, mm-hmm. all day Saturday, and Sunday breakfast, going to Pigeon Forge in Dollywood.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously you're going to do Dollywood one day, and that's going to be a Saturday. So Friday, I'm going to hit up something Sevierville Pigeon Forge related, right? I love, absolutely love, one of my favorite restaurants up here is the brewery, Smoky Mountain Brewery. Yeah. It has everything. So if somebody likes steaks, there's steaks. If somebody likes pizza, there's pizza. They really nailed it. Fantastic restaurant. So that would be probably my Friday night. Saturday morning, my wife is particular with her breakfast. There's only one pancake place that she wants to go, and that's the Pantry. It's in Gatlinburg. So Pancake Pantry, we're going to hit that up. It's a little out of the way because we're going back to Dollywood, but that's where we're heading. So then we're going to go to Pancake Pantry. Now we're in Dollywood. Problem is, you're kind of landlocked once you're in there. And honestly, you can eat whatever you want. You're going to be okay with it. I'm not saying Dollywood's not winning any awards for the meals. If you can get out in time, I may go down to Sevierville and hit one of those restaurants. They got a that's like an up and coming place if you go downtown Sevierville. So they've got the Appalachian, the Seasons 101, I think is what it's called. These are all farm-to-table restaurants, so you can hit those up. Local Goats, one in Pigeon Forge, kind of farm-to-table, always a line, really good place. But me and my wife love Japanese, and there's one in there, Little Tokyo. We're going to hit it up. I love Little Tokyo. Especially if they pass their food scores, we're like, yes, we're in, you know. So make sure Don Dare doesn't give them a red flag, and then we're good with it. Then the next morning, probably Pantry or maybe brunch over there by the Old Mill. So if you ever go to the Old Mill, it's a fantastic restaurant, fantastic establishment. But they also own the Pottery House right across the street from it. Wonderful brunch. If you want to go in there, get you a late breakfast, it's perfect.
JD says he would trade Ty Simpson to Tennessee for some Dollywood cinnamon.
That's
bread.
All you need. And just remember, if you're in there, do not get it at the bakery. You want to go to the mill. So that's Garrett, where it's made fresh.
Cousin Garrett said, just get on. I thought I accidentally clicked on a food review.
You know, I just upgraded my passes. If you upgrade your pass to the Diamond at Dollywood, it's not the first year, you have to renew it during the renewal period. But if you do that, every month you get a free loaf of cinnamon bread at Dollywood.
Damn it, I've just realized I could have asked your brother to bring some of that.
Yeah, well, next time you come up, I mean,
I've never had it.
Anytime after January, because I just renewed, so I don't get the free cinnamon bread yet, but I will get it in. Well, they're not open in January, but yeah, as soon as they open back up next year.
Somebody said the line at the Pancake Pantry is longer than Disneyland. Is that true?
Yeah, there's a trick. Do not go first thing in the morning. Like, if you do go bright and early, so in Gatlinburg, there's four lanes, and if you can't park on the street unless it's before, I want to say, 10 a.m. So if you go early enough, you can park on the street right in front of the restaurant. But if you go after lunch, it's open till 2. And, you know, yes, it's lunchtime, but seriously, who can't eat pancakes or crepes, you know, past that time? You can wear them out. So my wife, she gets the strawberry Parisian pancakes. I get the pecan pancakes and a lot of healthy sides, you know, so you can't go wrong with it. Fantastic. Now, if you're in Gatlinburg, I do like the local borough too. Not a sponsor, but should be, but fantastic little hangout there.
Emily's, I don't know if you can answer this question, Shane.
Yeah.
Aside from food, what's there to do in Dollywood?
Not if you're fat. You're pretty limited to the train. So, no, there's a lot of shows. And if you get an app, the Dollywood app, you can have it set on timer so you can go watch different shows and stuff. It's a really cool walk around park. I've been to a lot of parks. So,
shout out Derek Cole. Mike. Shane, thoughts on the games this week? Shane, I don't know. Should be good games. Mike asked me a question. Shane talks 25 minutes without missing a beat. That's accurate.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm a fat guy.
Hey, they just had the injury report, Shane.
Yes.
Okay, so LSU, Bama.
Yeah.
Questionable. Linebacker, outstanding linebacker for LSU, Whit Weeks. Questionable.
Mm.
Not great. The offensive tackle, Carius Kern for LSU, probable. So that is good. Alabama receiver, Ryan Williams, probable. So that's good news. I'm trying to see if there's any others. Florida, or I guess Kentucky. Florida, Vernell Brown and Iden Mazel, both receivers, questionable. And their list of guys out, Shane, is 16 for Florida.
Ooh.
So that might be something to monitor. Going up to Kentucky, all those guys out. Vanderbilt, Auburn, all looks pretty good. Now, this was a big one I saw, Shane. Texas A&M, Missouri.
Yeah.
No one really unsurprising for A&M. Scooby Williams, Bryce Anderson, Le'Veon Moss, all out, all expected to be out. But Missouri, tight end, Brett Norfleet, questionable.
Mm.
So that's a big one, perhaps.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, Georgia, Mississippi State. Left tackle for Mississippi State, Albert Reese, doubtful. That's big. And questionable for Georgia defensive back, DeMello Jones. So not a lot of injury news there, but just wanted to give the latest.
I don't know if this is true, but interesting. Gators are taking volunteers from the student body.
Shane Parks got a question. The best ride at Dollywood, is it the Cups?
Yeah, back in the day. I don't know if they had that anymore, to be honest. They got that little circus side. No, I don't. Like I said, I don't. I will tell you this. They got a lot of killer roller coasters. My kids love them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you have limitations, you know, there's a reason I don't zip line. It's not because I'm afraid of heights, Mike. So I feel like there is a lot for everybody to do up there. And somebody mentioned shows. I'll say this on last thing on Dolly, because I love Dolly, and anytime I could promote her, I'm going to. The Dollywood, if you go to one of the shows like Stampede or the Pirate Show or whatever, it costs like $70, 60, 70 what? Bucks. Little bit more, you could go to Dollywood and watch several shows. So just saying, you ain't got to ride rides. It ain't about that, especially with the Christmas lights up. Fantastic time come up there. And then when you get done, go over to Tennessee Legend and let them know the cousin sent you.
Hey, shout out. This is the $1 million question, Shane, from August.
Oh,
what's the availability report from YouTube TV? I don't think it's sounding too good. Do you?
No. Did you see the ratings for game day?
No.
So game day, and I'll just kind of paraphrase the numbers, but the last 3 weeks it was like 6 million, 7 million, 6.8 million. You know, it's like high 6 millions. And then this week it was 2.5.
Ew.
ESPN taking a little sting themselves. So, yeah, I'll be slinging it this weekend until they figure it out. I'm just doing it. I'm not giving in to Hulu, not giving in to ESPN. I'm going straight sling. Slanging it.
Okay. Well, you want to sling anything else before we jump off here?
No. Tomorrow we'll have the picks, so be sure to check that out. I appreciate all the cousins hanging out with us today. Be sure to hit the thumbs up. It costs $0, Mike, $0, and it means so much to us. So after you minimize this, if you can hit that thumbs up, that would be awesome. A lot of other great content on the show. Mike mentioned the interview there down in Auburn. What's going on in the Plains? Well, we got answers for you, so be sure to check that out, and we will definitely see you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for this episode. We'll catch you tomorrow.
See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.